Welcome to the February 11th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 21, and the sermon is entitled, Awaken, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
I'm grateful for an opportunity to come before you on a big day in the day of the world, right? I joined it a little bit. I'm going to be honest with you, okay? If you notice my tie, this was a Christmas present, okay? It has the 49ers on it. I made a comment in a sermon a while back, and somebody picked up on it, and so today's a big day. It's full of football, it's full of food, but before we get to any of that, praise be to God, we get to worship Him. And so that is what Sundays are made for. Sundays are not made for football, Sundays are made for Jesus. And I'm grateful that you are here this morning as we gather together as the body and as the church. I'm grateful. I noticed a little snafu this week in preparation and putting the sermons together. I don't say this in bragging. I'm about a month ahead in sermons, okay? That's, you just have to be that way when you're preparing. But I left a verse out. I went from verses 1 through 10 last week, and this week I picked up on verse number 12, and I said, what in the world did I miss verse number 11 for? So I'm not going to miss it. I'm going to pick it back up today in summary because it is a very, very important verse, and I don't want you to miss it. But last week we talked about, as we open up the book of 2 Peter chapter number 1, we talked about making our calling and election sure. And one of the ways that we do that is because as we are faithful people, our faith should always be growing. And it's not only through adding of things, but the Lord wants to multiply grace and mercy to that and peace to that. And so it is a work in progress, and our faith should be a work in progress. It should not be a regression. It should not be stagnant. It should be always moving forward to be more like Christ every single day of our life. And that was the charge last week that we heard from Peter, to continue to grow and to continue to build upon faith, continue to add to faith, and become more like Christ. And in doing so, you will make your calling and election a sure thing. And as we think about that, it also said in verse number 10 that you will not fall. You will never fall. And verse number 11, that's where I want to pick up real quick. And it says this, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly and to the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The reason that we make our faith and calling sure is so that we don't fall and so that we don't miss the kingdom of God, so that we don't miss heaven. Today we opened up the service, when we all get to heaven, I hope that you can sing that from the bottom of your heart, knowing heaven is your home. That is why you make your calling and election sure. It's so you can live this life knowing that no matter what, the Lord will lead you and that heaven is your home. This morning, as we think about the second half of chapter number 1, Peter stirs a call to awaken, for the believers to awaken, for the church to awaken. And I thought about that this morning as the early service. Man, this is a beautiful service for 8:15 in the morning. Some of you get up like I do, okay? Some of you get up 30 minutes before the alarm goes off and you're ready to begin your day, right? You don't need much stirring. You kind of stir yourself. In my house, it's a house divided. I'm an early bird. Levi usually takes one call. Levi, his feet hit the floor. And so my first thing, when I hit the floor, I go and I wake up the boys every morning. And so I say, Levi, come on, time to get up. Levi rolls over. He gets out the bed. He begins his day with breakfast. Now, the other half of the family, it's kind of like pulling teeth, okay? You got to give them time, and they got to ease into the day. And I don't know about all of that. They're not like I am. It's amazing how God puts us different people together. My youngest, Ethan, I kind of have to pull him out of bed, and I'm not going to talk about my wife here. But anyway, all that to say this, does it do the church good to be stirred up and awakened every once in a while, reminded of the things that we are to be and that we should be reminded that who we are is all rooted in Christ? And because of that, We should not be stagnant. We should not be regressing, but we should be moving forward in our relationship with Christ. With that opening, open your Bible today to 2 Peter chapter number 1. We're going to begin at verse number 12 and read through 15 to begin with. Here's what God's word says. Peter writes, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." Point number one today, as we think about awakening or stirring up the body, we need to be awakened to remembrance. Awaken to remembrance. Our minds are amazing machines, and it's amazing how much we can remember, and it's amazing how quickly we can forget. Amen? I know at 41 years old, my mind is getting to the point where if I don't write it down, I may be in trouble. I'm not in trouble yet, okay? But I may be in trouble later if I don't write it down. But every day that we send our boys out to school, we send our kids out, Terry and I, with reminders. And I feel like we have to do that. Some of those reminders are this. What time they will be picked up from school, because sometimes they have activities and say, "Remember, I'm picking you up at 5:30. You better be there," right? That's the kind of reminders we send out. We also have to remind them of the weather for the day, because our teenagers, because they're teenagers, they like to wear shorts in 20-degree weather for some reason. So we have to remind them, it is wintertime, put some clothes on. But one of the greatest reminders that we send our kids out the door with is this: remember who you represent. Remember who you represent. And maybe we say we need to remind teenagers these days of who they were. No, I want you. We need to remind everybody these days who we represent, adults alike. We need to be reminded of who we represent. As we send these our kids out the door with these reminders, we do this not because we just want to get on their nerves, but we do this because we love them and we are concerned about them and we want them to remember the important things of life. Look at verse number 12 again. Here's what Peter says in verse number 12. "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things." Peter says this in verse number 12, "I want to do my job in reminding you and to making sure that you know the important things, not because I am commanding over you or I'm your boss, but because I want you to remember the truth of a loving God." He says this, "As long as I'm alive, as long as I have flowing air through my lungs, I will stir you, I will awaken you, that you remember the truths of God." I read this and I'll say, oh man, it would have been nice to sit under Peter. Every day he would wake up and tell you the importance of an almighty God and of a loving Savior and how your life should be an example to that Savior. But here's what he says, "Even after I'm gone." Look at verse number 13, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me." He says this, "The time is coming that I'm going to have to put this tabernacle down, lay it down. But until then, I will not be negligent to speak the truth of God." There's a twofold charge here from Peter that we must see. Number one, today, you and I need to remember the things that the Lord has done, because it is so easy to forget. It is so easy to forget. How many of you today, maybe just slip your hand up and slip it right down, remember when you gave your life to Jesus? You can pinpoint that time and you remember that. Amen. I remember it just as it was yesterday. But if I'm not careful and if I don't make notes in my Bible of what's going on in my life and things that I'm going through, I soon will forget. And Peter says, I'm not going to let you forget how good God is. I'm going to stir you up to be faithful to Him. The second thing that we need to remember here is this. Not only will we remember, but that we will be responsible enough to share the truths of God with the next generation. It is our responsibility, church, not just to care for ourselves, but also to leave a legacy that speaks to Jesus Christ. We leave that legacy through our own family and through our own children, but you also can tap into the resources and leave it through the legacy of the church and teaching hundreds of children about Jesus. Think of that responsibility that is bestowed on Clifford Baptist Church. Here's what I hear all the time. We come and we want our kids to know about Jesus. We come to Clifford Baptist Church because there are kids programs. What a responsibility, church. And I'm going to tell you this. Some of that falls on these shoulders, but you shoulder it as well. It is our responsibility not to let the next generation go throughout their life without knowing the truths of Jesus Christ. So when we remember, we are reminded that we have a responsibility to the next generation to tell them the truths of a loving God. We need to be awakened to the things that we must remember. And Christians today, it is so easy to be lulled and to forget and be destroyed by the great deceiver. Christians and countries and world powers and churches have all been lulled to their demise. And here is the warning: awaken to the remembrance of our great God. Today, I pray that that stirs in your soul. The second point, look at verses 13 through 15 again. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. The second thing that we need to awaken to is this: death is coming. I know that's a morbid thought, but here's the reality. Just yesterday, we lost a longtime member of Clifford Baptist Church. Thurston Wheeler went home to be with the Lord yesterday evening. Many of you know that family. Many of you may see them in their connections here today. There are only two of those children that are the heartbeat of Clifford Baptist Church. There are only two of those children left. Death is coming. And when we remember that, here's what Peter says. As long as I'm alive, guess what? I'm going to spend my air and I'm going to spend my time and I'm going to give my energy stirring the remembrance of our Lord. But in verse 14, he says this: shortly I'm going to be laying down this tabernacle, this physical body. And he says this, that the Lord has shown him this. Now, how does the Lord show you things? Well, there's a couple of ways. One thing, he knew that his time was getting towards the end. The Lord has showed him that. Remember, Peter's life is on the line. He has been in and out of prison. He has been beaten. It's all because of his faith. He knows, I don't have much time left because I'm going to continue on for Jesus. And if I continue on with Jesus and the world continues like it is, I'm going to meet death. He knows that. I will give my life. But he also, I believe, the Lord has shown him through the life of Jesus himself. Through seeing Jesus' death, he knows that life must be laid down. The tabernacle is the Old Testament word for a temporary meeting place. They were people who were always on the move, going and coming, never settling anywhere for long. Some of you in here may say, I'm not a camper. Anybody in here like tent camp? I'm a camper, but I'm not a tent camper, okay? But here's what I want to tell you. Here's what I want to tell you. The reality is this. Every one of you has pitched a tent. Your tabernacle, your physical body, you're camping out. And here's the reality of it. This place isn't yours for long. You're just here for a borrowed amount of time. And here's what Peter says. The time is coming, and I have to be urgent about that, where guess what? The pegs are getting ready to come out of that tent, and I'm going home. But here's what I'm going to do. As long as I have breath, I will tell of Jesus. We see a man that wants to make the most of the time that God has given him, that he has left. Most of us look back and say, hey, I've spent my life doing this. I'm going to coast into retirement. Peter says, that ain't the way to go. Here's the way you go. Full throttle for Jesus Christ. Whatever days you have left, sit those days on Jesus. Give diligence. The word in verse number 15 is this: moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. The reality of this is this, friends. Today, we don't know how much time that we have left. But in these writings from Peter, he wants to make a mark for the gospel's sake with that time that has been gifted to him. He doesn't want people to remember Peter after he is gone. He wants people to remember Jesus after he is gone. Look at verse number 15 again. He says this: moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. After I am gone, I just want you to remember Jesus. That's all I want you to do. What a man. What a charge. But Peter's not saying, remember me. Here's all he's saying. He's saying, remember Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you a couple of names. If any of these names are familiar to you, if they are familiar to you, you will surprise me, okay? Does the name J.W. Martin ring a bell? Does the name A.L. Shoemate ring a bell? Probably doesn't. Let me fast forward a little bit. Let me ask you this. Does the name Earl Owenby or Irvin Booth or Peter DePlessis, do those names ring a bell to you? Does the name Mike Fitzgerald ring a bell to you? It's funny, 1982, we've got to get that far before somebody remembers the pastor of the church. All of these names were former pastors of Clifford Baptist Church. J.W. Martin was the first pastor in 1909. Reverend A.L. Shoemate was the longest serving pastor before Mike Fitzgerald. 12 years is what he made it. And most of these pastors on my list, they were lucky to make it 3 years. I got a couple more to catch there, okay? But here's the reality. And I know that Mike's heart would say the same thing. Don't remember me. Continue to serve the Lord. There's a picture right there. Everybody, I want you to look at it if you're in the chapel. That lady right there, Minnie Stinnett, if it was not for her in the early years, this church would have closed its doors. There's a story behind the faithful people. And here's the reality of it. We don't remember the names of the people. All they want is for us to remember Jesus. Amen. Long after Jeffrey Campbell is gone, don't worry about me. Just remember Jesus and continue to serve him. I talk to these little ones over here. Remember Jesus. That's my prayer. Long after I am off the scene, call into remembrance the things that the Lord has done. We have a responsibility in this day, today, that whatever time God has given us and that we have left, that needs to be awakened and be gifted back to him, that we will serve and love and live for him for the rest of our lives. May that be stirred deep down in our hearts today. The third point. Look at verses 16 through 18. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. The third thing that needs to be awakened today is the eyewitnesses. Awaken the eyewitnesses. As Peter is speaking, he is speaking in that time that he has spent with Jesus. He is speaking not of a fable that he has heard. He says, "We have not followed cunningly devised fables." This is not a made-up story. But what I tell you and what I give you is the truth of Jesus Christ. And here's what he does. He always points to the Word, and he always points to Jesus. If somebody doubted something that Peter said, here's his defense. "I was there. I was there. I was an eyewitness." And he uses that word, an eyewitness of his majesty, in verse number 16. He can tell you the things of God because he was there. And he goes into verse number 17 and 18, speaking about the transfiguration in which he was one of three, Peter, James, and John, that was up on the mountain of transfiguration with Jesus. When Jesus and his appearance, it changed. His face became like the shining sun. His raiment became white as the light. Elijah and Moses joined them, and he heard the voice of God. And Peter is remembering this. He says this, "I was an eyewitness to that account." And here is the reality. The gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, who record this, none of them were eyewitnesses to it. They weren't there. But here's what Peter says. "I was there. I heard the voice of God. I heard God's voice come out and say, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" I am an eyewitness of what God has done through Jesus Christ. But here is the reality. In that all of those power moments and all those glory moments and that Mount of Transfiguration, it came to an end. And when it ended, and after he heard the voice of God and they came down off of that mountain, they got back into the normal world. How many of us have experienced Jesus, something powerful and magnificent, and as soon as we enter back into our normal life, all of the glory and the power, it kind of goes away? Or is that just me? You have a good Sunday at church, and then Monday comes, and you forget everything about Sunday because you're back in the world. Here's what Peter says. We need to awaken to the eyewitnesses of what God has done in your life. Try not to be negligent. Try to endeavor. He says, "I had an encounter with Jesus, and that encounter with Jesus changed my life." You each have had an encounter with Jesus. You have given your life to him. You've trusted your years and days to him. And here's what the charge is. That should change your life. That should allow you to live your life and spend your days looking to your Savior. And then looking back, he says, "I have not forgotten the Mount of Transfiguration, but the days ahead are important as well." Remember this, every time you see Peter in the later years of his life, he's always pointing to Jesus. This is the same guy that denied him by the fire barrel. Now he's pointing to Jesus. There may have been times in your life you didn't live up to what Jesus expected of you. In these days and the days ahead, here's the challenge. Let everything you are point to Jesus. Everything you have, your eyewitness, your account, what Jesus has given you, he has given each one of you a story to tell. With that story, don't point to yourself. Point to Jesus. As we think about that challenge today, maybe in this room, God will awaken the story of Christ in every one of us. There's one more point before we close today that comes from verses 19 through 21. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, excuse me, that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Point number four today that we need to awaken is the Word of God. Peter's message is this: we don't follow some made-up fable, some wise tales. We've got a more sure word, and that is how he phrases it in verse number 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. As Peter talks about stirring people up, and he has witnessed, and all of that, he continues to point to Jesus, to a Savior that he loves. He also goes back to the Word of God. And he said, we were told of Jesus. We were told that he would come through the prophecy, through the Word of God. And through that word, the light shines in a dark place. In Peter's time, the light that would shine would be that only of Jesus. Look at verse number 19 again, please. Excuse me. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as a light that shineth in a dark place. Stop right there. What is the one thing that will give light to a dark world? What is the one thing that will give light to a dark season or a dark spot in your life? I'm looking over some faces today, and there are some people in this room that are going through some tough situations, some dark times. What is it that gives you hope? What is it that gives light to that dark place? It is God. It is Word that you have your hope in, that you place your trust in. It is that Word that says He will never leave you or forsake you. It is that reminder that He will be with you always. It is that reminder that He is your great comforter. He is your deliverer. He is your redeemer. He is your friend. All of that is promised in the Word of God. And in those dark seasons, that is what we hold to. We can cling to the Word of God. And so today, Peter is encouraging the people, the believers, as the trials and the persecutions would come, cling to God's trusted Word, to His holy Word. By nature, the human heart loves darkness. But Peter's plea is, let the Word of God illuminate the dark spot in your life. Let the light shine before men. Let it be on the hill so it cannot be hidden, so that they can see the good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, Matthew 5 says. Peter closes this chapter by reminding them the importance of the Word of God, but also the source of the Word of God. Look at verse number 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Many disagreements in our faith result on interpretation. That's why we have many different denominations. That's why we have hundreds of churches, because of interpretation. But here's what Peter says. He reminds us it's not the work of man. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to picture a wind that would move a sailboat. Just as that wind would move a sailboat and direct that sailboat, Peter says this: the Holy Spirit moved holy men, men of God, with a pen in their hand to write those holy scriptures. And it's amazing, as you read the Word and you remember who wrote it, how you can see their personality come out in the pages of Scripture. It's amazing how God uses an ordinary man that has gifted his life to Him to write an inspired and holy Word that we hold in our hand today. I'm grateful for the Word of God, aren't you? I'm grateful that, yes, God used men to write it. And here's also the thing that God did. As the man took the pen and he began to write, the Holy Spirit moved his heart to write truth that does not contradict and that is not wrong and does not need to be updated. Here is the warning: the Word of God needs to be awakened in our life. Christian, today, If you are here and you say, I'm not a reader, I used to say the same thing. But it's hard to live your life apart from this book. It's hard to live this life if you're not immersed in the Word of God. Maybe today God is using a little voice, it's a little rough this morning, of a pastor to stir you up to the things of God, to stir you up to get into the Word of God. And here's the call, awaken, get up now, arise. Now is the time, Clifford Baptist Church. Don't be stagnant any longer. Don't let your thoughts and your faith be regressing. Move forward. Peter gives us that challenge to always be pursuing Christ through our actions, through our testimony, and through the Word of God. As I close this down today, church, chapter 1 of 1 Peter 2 is done. And as he ends the first chapter, chapter number 2 will open looking to the false teachers that will try to creep into the church. And it's amazing, as he ends chapter 1, he ends it, how powerful the Word of God is. Church, here is my commitment to you as your pastor. I will always stand on the Word of God. If I err, it will err towards the Word of God. I'm not saying I won't hurt your feelings. I'm not saying the Word of God will not correct. I'm not saying the Word of God will not hurt some of us. I'm saying this: the Word of God is true, and we must live our lives according to this Word. In doing so today, what needs to be awakened? What is the Word of Peter? What is the Word of God? What does a sermon put together by Pastor Jeffrey, what does that stir you to do today? Is it the gospel that needs to reach the next generation? Maybe today you're a father and mother of a young family. Maybe you're a volunteer in the church. Maybe you today will feel that shouldering of responsibility. It is partly my job to teach Jesus to the next generation. It's not just the pastor's job. It's our job. Amen? It's our job. Maybe today you need to be stirred to make the most of the days that you have left. Yes, you have a storied past of serving and giving and loving Jesus. Ended well. Finish well. The race is still being run. Finish well. Those days that you have left, will you give them and gift them back to the Lord? Today, maybe you need to be awakened and stirred to be the eyewitness of Jesus. To tell your story. Every single person that has met Jesus in this room has a story about how Jesus changed their life. Share it with your family. Share it with your coworkers. Listen to me. Don't you dare leave this world without somebody knowing you love Jesus. That would be a shame. The fourth thing, maybe today, we need to be stirred as the believers to the Word of God. The things of God are true. The things of God will lead us. This Bible, this Word of God, will lead our lives. That is the last charge. Church today, what needs to be awakened? I pray it's not Jeffrey that's doing it. And I pray it's not Peter that's doing it. It must be the work of the Holy Spirit. And right now, that's my prayer as I give this invitation to every person, that the Holy Spirit would work and move and stir and awaken the people of God. That we will do the things of God that He's called us to do and be obedient until death. Amen? As we go to Him today, maybe there's somebody here that has felt the tug of the Holy Spirit on a heart. It's not the preacher twisting an arm. It's the Holy Spirit that must do the work. Today, if you feel the Holy Spirit working on your heart and pursuing your life. Maybe there's a young man in this room that the Lord is calling to ministry. Somebody's got to take my place. My name will be on this list and it will have an end date. Somebody's got to take my place. Listen to the Holy Spirit as He moves. Maybe there's a moving of the Holy Spirit directing you to serve or to live or to continue to use your days and your years ahead. But today, if there's one person here that needs Jesus Christ as Savior, Listen with all your heart. Jesus Christ loves you. And it is His Word and it is His Holy Spirit that draws you to Himself. And because of that, He went to a cross. He died in your place and He died for your sin. He died so you didn't have to, that you could spend eternal life with Him if you will just give your life to Him. Today, if the Holy Spirit is drawing, today you come. Don't you dare put it off. Whatever you need, I know the Lord meets us here. May we pray. Father God, Lord, thank You for the awesome responsibility, Lord, that You give me, Lord, to lead a group of believers. And Lord, today as the charge is to stir and to awaken our hearts and our lives, God, I pray, Lord, in this moment of invitation that it is Your Holy Spirit alone that is moving. God, I pray, Lord, that You awaken and You stir our hearts and our minds to the work that You would have us to do individually and the work You would have us to do as a church. God, I pray, Lord, that You will continue to use the days ahead as prosperous days, as fruitful days, as days of harvest, because it's plentiful. But the workers are few. God, today I pray from the bottom of a pastor's heart, continue to stir us and continue to use us and continue to remind us of Your faithfulness to us. Let us be responsible to the next generation. Let us be responsible to Your Word to spend the rest of our days living for You. Lord, thank You for the great promise of hope that You give everyone that trusts You. And today, if there's one person in this room that needs to trust You as Savior, God, I pray that You would work now. God, thank You for the work that You are doing in the lives of the people that are represented here and the life of a country church. Grow us in You, Lord. That is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.